Welcome to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar, broadcasting from my home studio. A coalition of Central Pennsylvania restaurant and bar owners are encouraging lawmakers to support a bill that would make changes to Governor Tom Wolf's latest coronavirus mitigation restrictions. That legislation passed the Senate yesterday and now makes its way back to the House. For the first time since July, earlier this week, the establishments were allowed to host half as many customers as normal inside their businesses if they certify with the state. The bars and restaurant owners say the rules are onerous and still costing them business, and many may not survive. Joining us this morning is Brian Furtenball, owner of Cafe Fresco in Center City and Level 2 Nightclub in Harrisburg. Mr. Furtenball, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Eric Nyman is owner of the Penn Hotel Sports and Raw Bar in Hershey. Mr. Nyman, good to have you on the program this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
We have an abbreviated program today, so if you have a question or comment, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. Send an email to smarttalk@witf.org. On Twitter, we are at smarttalkwitf. Again, that phone number, 1-800-729-7532. So both of you feel free to join in here to answer these questions. So why do you feel that you need these restrictions that the governor has placed on restaurant and bars loosened?
Well, I'll speak first. Sorry, Eric. First and foremost, I mean, I feel like, our industry has been targeted pretty directly by the governor and the state of Pennsylvania since the beginning of the pandemic, and it really without justification. I mean, we are, already in an industry that is, strictly regulated in the means of, sanitation, cleaning. We receive annual health inspections, and there's a lot of protocol in place already in a restaurant that makes it a safe place to eat and drink. These are regulations that you don't see in other industries that have been allowed to function at 100% capacity or at normal rates versus what we've been allowed to do.
Now, when you say without justification, the justification that the governor would use is that your establishments, your businesses are where people gather. Very often they are in close proximity to one another. So how can you say it's without justification?
Well, I mean, when the instructions and the regulations came out as far as, social distancing and wearing masks and those things, we and most, if not all, restaurants began to follow them. The tables are spaced so that they're at least 6 feet apart. Guests are wearing masks. Staff is wearing masks. Staff is wearing gloves. You don't see that in a lot of, you go to a grocery store, the staff's not wearing gloves. You go to a Lowe's or a Home Depot, the staff's not wearing gloves. There's precautions that we are taking that you don't see done in these places. Anything that is touched or used by a guest is wiped and sanitized after they leave before another guest is allowed to sit at a table or sit in a chair or touch a plate or utensil.
But, the difference is, and I'm not arguing with you, Brian, but the difference is that we're talking about touching food. We're talking about touching glasses and plates and that kind of thing. That's a little more intimate than, a hardware store or something like that.
I don't necessarily agree with that. I mean, you walk into a grocery store or a hardware store and you see somebody pick an item up off the shelf and, maybe read something on the label and then put it back on the shelf and walk away, and another person walks up and picks up that item. Why is that less intrusive than, us serving a meal or something to a guest that hasn't been touched by an actual hand? It's being touched by a gloved individual and a masked individual.
Mm-hmm. Eric Nyman, let me ask you this question. The governor, as I mentioned earlier this week, did loosen these restrictions somewhat from July. 50% capacity and being able to serve alcohol until 11 p.m. Those were the restrictions that went into effect Monday. Are you saying that's not enough?
It's not. There's a very varying reasons why it's not. One, you know, especially in the Hershey area with the 11 o'clock cutoff of alcohol, we have a lot of people that work at the med center or they work at the Hershey factory in the plants, and they get off work at 10, 11 o'clock, and that's their time when they'd like to be able to go out and grab something to eat with their friends when they get off work, just like a person who works 9 to 5. You know, that would be considered their happy hour, and they're kind of being treated unfairly as well. So, well as having to sign this self-certification to be able to do those things, I don't think is fair either, because as Brian said, you know, we're already following such strict guidelines as it is. Why do we have to sign a document saying that we are? We've already been following all these things. And a lot of places, we all have been going beyond what's already asked of us to make sure we're ensuring customer safety, because it's always been a priority of ours and it always will be moving forward.
When you, the self-certification that you mentioned, I understand that that is a particular problem with some business owners across the state. Talk about that, you know, because what the governor wants is that those bars and restaurants that are now allowing 50% capacity and following these rules, that they have to certify with the state that they are following these rules. But there are a lot of restaurant and bar owners across the state who think that that this is not fair and it's something they shouldn't have to do. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, again, we are the only industry that's being asked to do a self-certification. No Lowe's, no Giant, no Target, none of the big box stores are being asked to self-certify. There's some vague wording in there that I'd like to get some better clarification on. I mean, it gets to be confusing with our staff, you know, what they have to follow, you know, when guidelines keep getting issued and now we're in this self-certification. It's another step that we have to deal with that is just making things more difficult. You know, the self-certification,
go ahead, finish what you're going to say.
Okay, so with regards to the self-certification, again, we're the only industry that has to do it. And if an employee were to make an honest mistake in one of many restaurants across the country or the state, and what are the repercussions if they miss a step with the self-certification and it's an honest mistake? I mean, is there a consequence to this? Because the employees don't want to make mistakes. They're already stressed enough, and this adds another stress to their job.
Are the employees stressed? I mean, are they really paying attention, focused on not making a mistake and following these rules?
For myself, they are. And other places I've been to, I've seen they are. They're following rules and they're doing what they're supposed to. If there's places that are not doing that, then they're the ones who should be punished individually. We shouldn't be, as an industry across the board, all being at fault when there's a few bad actors.
You're listening to Smart Talk on WITF, your home for NPR News and all things regional. I'm Scott Lamar. Welcome back to Smart Talk. We're talking about legislation that passed the Senate yesterday and has moved on to the House now that would loosen some of the restrictions on restaurants and bars in Pennsylvania. Our guest today, Brian Furtenbaugh, who is owner of Cafe Fresco Center City and Level 2 Nightclub in Harrisburg, and Eric Nyman, owner of the Penn Hotel Sports and Raw Bar in Hershey. We only have a few minutes left in the program. If you'd like to weigh in, give us a call, 1-800-729-7532. So, Brian, this legislation, what are you looking for? What are some of the highlights? What are some of the specifics? Because I don't know if we have time to go through all of them, but what are some of the highlights of what you're looking for?
Well, this bill that passed pretty unanimously through both the House and Senate really moves us back to the green phase that we were in prior to July 15th, which allowed us to operate at 50% capacity, allowed guests to sit at a bar, and allowed drinks to be ordered without the purchase of food. Those things are definitely a step in the right direction as far as getting us back to, you know, a level where we can financially survive. At 25%, you know, and about to lose the outdoor seating here as the weather changes, you would have seen restaurants just drop like flies. I mean, it's not feasible for them to survive at that. You know, and unfortunately, we've seen, you know, downtown has really gotten, you know, hit pretty hard by this. You know, the street known as Restaurant Row down here has lost quite a few restaurants, and it's really sad to see that happen to a city that's, you know, one, it's our capital city. It sits right in front of the Capitol building, and, you know, and to see all these restaurants and the city struggling is really sad. So, you know, this bill passing hopefully will start to open things back up and hopefully start to get people back downtown, get the businesses moving, and get you know, people back in the offices and start to see more activity and see the finances of the city start to come back.
I just want to clarify a little bit. This was a House bill. Senate passed it, but there have been a few changes, so it has to go back to the House for concurrence.
Correct.
Then it goes on to Governor Wolf, if the governor, and that's a big if the governor would sign it. Now, in the Senate yesterday, this passed 43-6, so that would seem like if the governor vetoes it, that at least in the Senate, that there may be you know, enough to overcome a veto there. You know, one thing that I think, what you tell me about it, alcohol, how important is alcohol sales to what you're doing? Because as part of what the governor, the restrictions that went on earlier this week, and they actually changed a little bit, that you could sell alcohol until 11 p.m., but come midnight, no matter what, that drink is coming away, and customers also have to buy food with that, and they cannot sit at a bar. You mentioned some of these things, Brian, but Eric, why is that important to restaurants and bars?
Well, the costs that are involved on operating a full-service restaurant with a liquor license, that's when you're planning your year, you're planning on making money through alcohol sales. And that's a big chunk of what our planning and budgeting goes into the year as. You know, we didn't design ourselves to set up as a diner with how profits and margins work and things along those lines when we're trying to generate revenue. You know, we have percentages that we break down, and when they're taking away our primary income source, that's going to hurt in the long run, as well as it takes away from our staff's ability to earn money, because many of our staff in restaurants are split between servers and bartenders, and the bartenders usually typically stay on later at night than the servers, and that's where they make the majority of their money, would be later at night as well. And servers who might work from 5 to 9 or 5 to 10 o'clock at night.
Let's take a phone call from Jim. Jim, you're on the air.
Hi. I have a question. Your one guest was talking about the people in restaurant service using gloves to protect their customers. My question is, if a waitress or a waiter is going to customer A and serving them, and then going to customer B and serving them, are they changing their gloves between customer A and B? Because if they're not, the gloves don't do a thing.
Thank you for your call, Jim. What about that?
Yeah, I mean, we have boxes of gloves. That's been one of our biggest expenses since the pandemic started, is the purchase of gloves and personal protective equipment. Unfortunately, those gloves, the price has almost tripled. But, I mean, it's a necessity that we are required to use, and I require my staff to do. Those boxes are placed at every serving station, and after they deliver food to a table, they remove their gloves. They put on a new pair of gloves before they approach the next table.
Let's take another call from Susan in Mechanicsburg. Susan, you're on the air.
Hi. I just wanted to say I love eating out. I used to work in the restaurant industry in my 20s. But I think, and I apologize if the previous caller mentioned this, but I think that the biggest issue with restaurants is, obviously, we can't eat and drink through our masks. So even though servers are wearing masks, people at tables really, realistically, cannot. And even more than that, when it's inside, you know, we know that the virus travels through the air, and when you're in a closed environment, there's more likelihood of, contracted by others. And with noise levels in restaurants, if you're at max capacity, and certainly in bars and clubs, it's, you know, really a double whammy there, because you can't wear the mask and, you know, people are talking more loudly and, you know, singing, talking more loudly. Those types of activities tend to mean more virus in the air. Thank you.
Thank you. Gentlemen, how do you respond to that?
Well, the guideline that we follow and are required to follow is that a mask must be worn to enter, exit, and move about the restaurant. The only time the mask is allowed to be removed is while you're sitting at a table with the guests that you've come to dinner with or are out with, and you're sitting with a common group of people that you know. Outside of that, the requirement, like I said, is that they must move about the restaurant with a mask on.
And also, in reference to her regarding like it being a louder environment, so that people are talking louder and expressing themselves that way, well, a lot of the things that contribute to that aren't happening right now. There aren't DJs, isn't live music as much. So a lot of these things, it's more of a quiet environment now, actually, than it was in the past.
Catherine from Shermansdale asked this question. It's an email. Do you have any plans to continue outdoor seating with additions like outdoor heaters as we move into the colder months?
Well, unfortunately for, you know, with my particular business, we're located in downtown Harrisburg. We don't have a lot of space. We don't have a parking lot. We have very limited sidewalk seating, which I've had to actually, you know, spread out due to the social distancing rules. So I'm kind of at a max right now. I do have heaters underneath my awning, but they only provide heat to the tables that used to be under the awning that are now spread out. So, you know, unfortunately, you know, like I said, our days of outside seating are kind of numbered. For us in particular.
Do you think that there... Go ahead, Eric, what were you going to say?
Oh, I was going to say I'm in a very similar situation as he is. I just purchased some heaters. I only have the ability to put four tables outside of my place. And I have looked into some other, like, structures that would, like, protect you while you sit outside in the wintertime. Like, they are very cost-heavy, and it's hard to determine if they're worth the cost of spending it to do that.
Do you think that there will be businesses that maybe have different circumstances that will maybe have a tent or maybe somehow find a way to have more heaters outside, that there will be continued outdoor seating once it gets colder? Now, granted, we get into January and February. I don't think there's going to be anybody outside unless they, you know, unless they have an enclosed structure. But are there going to be businesses who will try to find ways to do that?
Yeah, I think there are, and I've seen it already, and it's kind of perplexing to me that why a tent that's enclosed sitting out in the parking lot is safer than in the inside of a restaurant that is cleaned repeatedly. But, I mean, I'm sure there will be people that will try to find a way to make that work.
Uh-huh. That's a point a lot of people probably haven't thought about when they see those tents in the parking lot somewhere. We have another... Is this a call? Yes. Let's go to Kathleen and Kathleen, I should say, in Palmyra. Kathleen, you're on the air.
Thank you. I have two quick points. First of all, people do not spend the amount of time in one spot in a Lowe's that they do in a restaurant. So I think that that's a critical difference. My main thing, though, is that as far as the self-certification, I think this would be such a good tool for customers. We have been very diligent about trying to do takeout and curbside from all of our local restaurants to support them. And in the beginning, almost everyone was very good about the COVID requirements for masking and everything else. As time has gone by, I've noticed that certain of the facilities have kind of gotten a little lax, and that especially back in the kitchen, people are not wearing masks as much anymore. And so I've stopped going to those people. And so I think that if you self-certified, it would encourage customers that you are, in fact, following the rules. I mean, let's be honest. I understand that you say that you follow, you know how to run a business to be clean. But there are pop-up inspections all the time that turn up very major violations. So obviously there has to be some steps beyond. I'll hang up and listen to any comments offline. Thank
you. All right,
you.
Thank you for your call. Gentlemen, how do you respond to her?
Well, for the self-certification, I like I said previously, I would just like some better clarification on things just to make sure that, you know, there's no vague areas that we're missing. That's what I said before I would agree to sign the self-certification. From there, then, you know, I wouldn't be as hesitant, but I would just like to get some clarification, see what any ramifications are that if something, like I said, if there was an honest mistake made that isn't intentional, you know, like we are following the rules and doing everything we can, but, you know, if somebody was to make a mistake, what happens? That's what I'm looking for before I would agree to self-certification. And also to her point is that if there is somebody, if there is a location that is not following the rules, they should be individually punished. We should not be punished as a whole industry.
Mm-hmm. As I said, this passed the Senate yesterday, 43-6. The House could be taking up the legislation very soon, maybe as early as Monday. And then it would go on, if it is passed, it would go on to Governor Wolf. Gentlemen, I want to thank you very much. And, you know, I've been doing this the whole time that we've been through this, encouraging people to patronize their local businesses. Now, they want to do it in a safe way. Brian Furtenbaugh is owner of Cafe Fresco Center City, Level 2 Nightclub, Harrisburg. Eric Nyman, owner of the Penn Hotel Sports and Raw Bar in Hershey. Thank you very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having us, Scott.
Thank you.